Welcome to Detailed Drummer. With us today, we have Kristen Edens. She's an amazing drummer. She's a freelancer. She does world tours. She does awesome content on social media. And today, we're going to learn more about her and about her life. So, Kristen, how are you? How have you been during this lockdown and like these strange times?
Hello, Joao. Thanks so much for the invitation. Looking forward to this interview. And thanks for the question. I'm doing well. I mean, it's a pretty tough time for everybody of us, I guess. And I'm a, in general, a very happy person, I would say. And since lockdown day one, I set up a little studio room where I'm doing my social media stuff. And I have very packed days, and I've always lots of ideas, and a lot of things are going on right now. And still, even after now 1 year of Corona. But anyway, I'm doing fine. I work a lot. I'm in a good mood. And I'm thankful for that.
That's amazing. So you would say like this kind of lockdown and the way things change your life and the things like the dates and the gigs you had throughout the year that were canceled and you had to adapt. Would you say that made you more or less productive or the same in terms of creating new stuff?
I would say it definitely made me very productive. As you might know, I was not used to the social media stuff. I had no time to do that. I mean, it means a lot of work if you're producing videos, if you record a lot, if you're cutting videos and all that kind of stuff. But I was a live musician. I was so busy in that live music scene, and I traveled a lot. I studied a lot abroad in the Netherlands, in America, and had so many connections abroad. And that means that I had concerts and projects all over the world, and I really loved that. But there were a few facts I didn't like. For example, I really love practicing, and when you're on the road all the time, there's a lack of time, of course, for the things you love to do, for example, practicing. And I'm very interested and very, I would say, nerdy in that technical aspect and musical aspect and aesthetical aspects, whatever. And I really missed that missed doing that. And so when the Corona shit came up, I fortunately had the time to care about these things. And that was one very, very, very lovely aspect, which definitely changed my working every day and maybe also my life, because it turns out that I totally love working precisely. I really love producing videos and practicing a lot and having a lovely little document at the end of the week, you know?
Yeah.
That whole working process, I totally liked. I think I'm a live musician too, but I also like the studio work. And there was a lack of studio work in my working every day. And now there's more studio work than, of course, life.
So you feel like it changed the way you see it now, like the way maybe you want to do it further, like in the future. Do you feel like you need more of this type of work in your life as well, apart like as the life thing as well, but you want to keep on doing this, like social media stuff?
Absolutely.
And recording stuff. You are also like going for a educational book. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, next to my life, next to the live concerts or concerts in general, the tour life I had, I was also teaching at universities here in Germany, pop department and a jazz department. And I'm used to create educational material and so on, but I never did it on social media. I had no clue what to do on social media. And when the lockdown started, I had this little idea of creating these little workouts, you know, which I'm posting on Instagram. Yeah. And I always try to be better and better and to enhance facts like, okay, it has to look better, the camera angle has to be better, the exercise itself has to be faster or better or cleaner or whatever, and the idea has to be more brilliant or whatever, you know. And I really like that kind of work. It's absolutely perfect for me. I think I'm I like the nerdy work, working on my own, enhancing educational stuff and drumming stuff every day. Yeah, and that's definitely one thing I want to do further.
Right, that's amazing. Do you kind of feel some pressure is not the right word, but I'm gonna use it. Do you feel like sometimes now there's so many people doing that, like little Instagram covers, or you know, like with some gospel shops and like all that, you know, Instagram kind of type of cover. Also, you have loads of teachers like giving exercises, and you feel like the market is getting difficult to go through. You know, like even though you maybe don't think as your social media something that you need to sell or to, you know, be better than the others to make your message come through, but I guess like when you're making content, you always have the idea that there's so much content out there that you need to do something unique so people go to you. And do you think that affects the way you prepare your stuff, or you just come out with ideas and you think, no, this is good, and you go for it?
I'm totally aware of the fact you mentioned. It's a hard job. It's a tough job, definitely. I would never refuse that observation, definitely not. And I'm from the jazz scene here in Germany, and I studied in the States and in the Netherlands, and I played so many different jobs and so many different genres. That means I got got in touch with so many different people and views and perspectives. I think nowadays I have pretty healthy, or might have a pretty healthy overview of what is important or what's not so important, what creates an added value or what's more fakeish, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And nevertheless, you have to be strong and you have to be a risk taker on these social media platforms, I think, or in general, maybe in life or in this business.
Completely.
And whenever I create content, I mean, I thought so many times about, okay, what can be cool, what can be hip, how can I create an added value in general? And for me, it's super, super important to be authentic. That's maybe the most important thing. And that means you have to take a risk. And that can mean that other people don't like it. And for you in your everyday, or that's how it felt for me, it means that you feel bad with this, you know. Mm-hmm. But after a while, you get used to things, and maybe one or two little ideas work pretty well. And then you can enhance your work and make it better and better. And that's what happened with my account, I think. I tried a lot of things, but I would never work or publish things other people totally like and I don't like, or right, whatever. So of course I observing the whole scene, and sometimes I think, oh wow, that's such a hip idea, I would love to have this idea. Yeah. Or I would love to have these chops or whatever. But at the end, you need to be authentic. And that's the most important thing. And another thing, or in addition to that, for me, it's super important that I'm developing my skills still, and that I practice a lot. And so for me, my social media account is also more maybe a little documentation of what I'm working on at the moment.
It's like a diary, kind of.
Yeah, it doesn't look like that, maybe,
no,
because
it looks
professional. Very...
It's like a really neat diary.
Thank you, Joel. But whatever I posted there, I was not able to play it 2 weeks before I recorded it.
Right.
Definitely not, I swear. So also all these workouts and exercises, that's definitely, I worked on that for a few days and then I recorded. And it felt totally cool for me because that's a little documentary about, okay, wow, that's the result of my work for the last, I don't know, 1 or 2 weeks. And let's see where I can go next week.
Yeah, I think like the, first of all, I think the good posts are as important as the bad posts, if you get what I mean. Like, not bad in terms of they are bad, but people don't like respond, because you can learn with it, you know, like you can see like, oh, maybe this doesn't work because of this or because of that, or you can get some feedback and improve something, like an idea that can be lapidated like a diamond, you know, like you need to clear it out. So yeah, now it's it. And also, I think it's pretty cool that you have that kind of double challenge of making content and study new stuff. So it's for you, it's kind of, you create stuff to show to people, and also you learn with the things that you're creating to show to people. So it's like double winning.
Totally. I mean, and disadvantage is it takes so much time, you know. if you're already able to play something and then you record it, then yeah, sure, go for it.
True.
But I really want to learn something, and that's more my whole concept in general, my working every day. I want to develop myself and my playing, and you know, find myself more and more in my playing. And yeah, for that idea, I need to practice and to check out things. But I think it's also based on that, on maybe a couple of thoughts which are very common in the jazz scene. You need to tell a story. You need to be authentic. It's about art in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
I want to create something which is not only about a virtuous chop or quick hand food combinations. It's more I love architecture and in general art. And whenever I create a video, I try to put a couple of parts
in. You can tell in your videos there is like a special thinking on how everything is arranged, you know, and like the time that takes, first of all, to learn what you're learning, second, to put all the cameras, do all the cuts in the videos, sync everything, process, and it takes loads and loads of work. Do you think once you get back to normal life and you are able to go around the world again playing drums live, would you think like you will keep doing this? And if so, would you need help, like someone to edit your videos or someone to, you know, do that kind of stuff for you, because you have more work to do? Or do you think it's going to be you still be present on social media, but you will need to like change it a little bit for live stuff and studio stuff, like time to time?
So even during the last weeks, I got a couple of concert requests, and I canceled it because for me, the added value I create on social media is more important for me at the moment. And it's more effective, you know, when I post a video, I practiced a week for that. And of course, it's a lot of work, but at the end, I get a couple of interview requests, other requests in general, and that makes me super happy. And my feeling is that I won a lot in that moment. Instead of, you know, schlepping my drums to another concert here close to Hamburg, playing for a small audience in front of
get
a small
cash.
Audience, you know.
See
ya. Yeah, exactly. But I just say that, or I just have the opinion, because I did it so many times. And for me, the social media work is so cool. It's a lot of fun.
Easier to get really feedback.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you get the feedback immediately. Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's definitely a work I totally like, and I really wanna do during the next years and more and more.
I wanted to ask you, because this is a question that I make to everyone. How did you start to play drums? Did you like discover it by yourself on a lesson or something like that? Or did you add something from your family, like leading you into it? Or how did it happen?
I have an older brother. He's 8 years older than me. And we both grew up in a very musical family in North Germany. And my brother played the guitar and bass guitar. And he was totally in that jazz rock stuff. Jacob Pastorius. Weather Report, John Scofield, all this great stuff.
All the good stuff.
Lee Ritenour, all that fusion LA stuff. And I kind of grew up with it. And I remember I was 10 or whatever when I got my first Jaco Pastorius Word of Mouth Big Band album. So pretty early for that kind of crazy music.
Information, loads of information.
But I got used to it, and whatever you heard as a kid, it feels still so familiar. And yeah, that's the music I grew up with. And later I had the wish to study drums. And during that time, you had the choice to study jazz or pop here in Germany, and there were a lot of jazz universities, and that's what I did. I started studying here in Hannover. Later, I did an exchange year in the Netherlands in Groningen, and later I did my master's degree in Los Angeles with Peter Erskine.
Yes, the master.
And the master, undoubtedly, yeah. And then I moved back to Germany, and I settled my stuff up here in Hamburg, and I got another master degree here, which was combined with a scholarship. That was really cool for me, because I could realize my band projects here in Hamburg. And that's why I'm Hamburg, and I'm still in Hamburg. And for me here, the position is pretty cool, because the city is very, kind of cosmopolitan.
Yeah.
And also very, very modern and very beautiful in general. And you know, I'm a minimal artist, and minimal is here in Germany, and I'm with Tama, and Tama is also with minimal. So
it's quite central as well, if you want to travel.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And I mean, all you need is fast internet. That's a problem in Germany, to be honest.
Is it?
Oh man, can't tell. Sorry, but that's definitely what I observe, and not only me.
Fair enough.
Now, as you see, it works somehow, but
yeah, not always. Don't rely on
not always. Not always. No, just kidding. No, but yeah, I'm very satisfied.
So, when you started to study jazz and more like conservatoire kind of environment, so and this is like a question that I wanted to do. That is, being drums an instrument mainly played by men, have you ever thought, like, being on that type of education, that it's really intensive, and they ask a lot of you in terms of technical stuff, even like the way you think about yourself, because you need to be strong enough to don't let go, don't quit, you know, to keep on going and to try to make yourself better, so you can not prove to the others that you're better, but to prove yourself you can do it. And some of, like, when I was doing my jazz degree, some of my colleagues, they couldn't take the pressure. And that's normal, because you are 7 days working, like, or playing 5 hours straight, and always with different repertoires and different challenges. And if you're not focused on that, you can go a little sideways. And especially when you're a woman playing drums at that bar, have you ever felt like someone was treating you different, or it was always cool with you? You always felt you had the respect from your peers.
So yeah, interesting fact, man, you mentioned, because that's a yeah, everlasting topic.
I want girls, like girls that play drums that are listening to this, to listen to you, that, you know.
Yeah, of course. You know, I grew up with an older brother, and that's why what I was used to. It felt so familiar to be surrounded by men, and by cool men. By friendly and cool and supportive man. And that's still my attitude. My opinion is, in general, the mixture is always the best.
True.
You know? And of course, the fact you mentioned that it's such a man-dominated field, I can totally...
Changing now.
A little, step by step. But very, very slowly, I would say.
True.
And I observed an interesting fact. So I was teaching at music school during my bachelor studies. And in music school, when you're teaching kids, it's interesting because, let's say, 8-year-old girls, they're so so extrovert and so funny sometimes, and they are risk taker and all these kind of attitudes. And sometimes boys are maybe not the other way around, but often. And then when they're 12, 13, 14, it changes completely. They change the roles. And then a lot of girls, when they are in their 20s, they are still super shy and super, you know, and I felt the same. I felt the same, and that causes problems, I would say, sometimes. Because, you know, I grew up in that big band field. Mm-hmm. And when you're a big band drummer, you have to have a certain attitude.
True.
So hesitation
they need to respect
is not...
You.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm in charge.
Totally.
I love to play big bands.
Yeah, you have to know what to do and what to play. And that was not a healthy combination in that situation, because I got aware of that. But I was also very shy during these years. And I was always surrounded by these by these groups of men. And, you know, and during that time, my impression was that the boys love to be on their own, or just with be surrounded by themselves. You know, so just the fact that no
would
matter
you feel
if
like
I,
they will
I
put
would,
you apart, or it, not it, like directly, but kinda, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And I would say it happens more in a natural way. It was not because I was not cool or something. That was not the fact. Just because the fact I'm a girl, and I was aware of that. It happens sometimes, I would say, but and a lot of situations like this happened, I think, during when I was 16 to 24 or something like that. But then the more and more professional it became, and you know, I moved to the States, then studied jazz there. And over there, the question was more, are you Jewish, or are you Black, or are you from the South America, or, you know? And that was...
They want to know
also,
race.
Yeah.
Tell me,
exactly.
Where you're from.
Exactly. And that was so interesting in that moment when I got aware of it, because for me, the result was, okay, it's so based on the culture you are from.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't have so many people from abroad here in Germany, and that's why the focus is always on that gender thing.
Fair.
You know, we have a lot. We have a lot of Turkish people here, but not so many Black people or people from South America or whatever. And at the end, I thought, okay, we are all human beings, and that's how we unfortunately behave sometimes. And you have to deal with it. And another fact, you mentioned the academic way, was that it has definitely advantages being a girl in that man-dominated field, but it also has disadvantages, definitely both. I would say it's like for men too, but the focus is always on you all the time. Mm. And that means in tricky situations that you have to nail
when
it.
When you're put on the spot, you have way
absolutely.
More pressure.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you nail it and if you succeed, then
you go home like, you know, yeah, made it.
Yeah, but then the people are so focused and you're so great, you're blah, blah, blah. And sometimes I feel like, yeah, but my friend who is a drummer too is also great. It's just because, you know, I'm a girl, I'm so in that moment.
So you feel like they would say you were like better because you were a girl. So imagine if you'd played the same thing, you were a guy, the reaction would be different. That's what you mean.
Sometimes, not always.
Yeah,
and it really, it's different in the different music scenes and genres.
Yeah,
I think in the big band scene, you have to have your technical skills and your music knowledge together. And if you don't, then you fail, definitely. And no matter if you're a boy or girl.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, that was the attitude I was used to, and I really liked the focus was not on what gender you are or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just based on what you are able to do and what kind of skills you have. And that's an attitude I really like. I think the mixture is always the best. And I have a lot of male students, and they're totally cool of that. Sometimes we talk about facts like this, but my impression is that the attitude in general towards this gender discussion definitely changed step by step.
Yeah.
It feels pretty normal in our days. But
think it's still like something to change, but I think it's changing. Gradually, it's changing. You can tell that. For example, when I was a kid and I was looking for drummers online, of course, there was way less stuff on YouTube and stuff like that. But you always get like those big drummers, like men, you know, like Dave Weckl, like the Krupa, like all those guys. And now you start to see even like channels, like big channels on YouTube, like Drume or some big artists playing with, they have woman drummers or woman guitar players, or like you can tell that I don't know if girls at some point they were afraid of going the step further to be professional, but I definitely think that now it's the time for all the girls that, and even the guys, but the girls that that want to be professional drummers, they need to understand that it's a market that is changing. And I definitely think that so many drummers, like woman drummers, like yourself, like other ones, like they're so good and they have so much to offer that there's no difference at all of being a man or a girl. It's everything is inside, you know what I mean? Like what you have to offer, it's in here. It's not, you know, outside. So,
you mentioned an important fact, so the lack of models, you know? So that's definitely a problem. I ignored the fact until I was, I don't know, 20 or something. But if you have to be authentic and more seen as a strong personality in the business, then you have to be, you have to have a strong character. But that's a problem if there are no role models in that moment, you know, because I was a big fan of, as you mentioned, Peter Erskine and Keith Carlock and all these guys. But yeah, I had to found another personality. So and sometimes there it feels like there are borders because there is no role model.
Yeah.
And it's a bit overwhelming in that moment with 20 to create your own role model, you know.
Yeah.
I think nowadays it's a bit it might be a bit easier. I observe that when I'm teaching at universities, because you know there's Annika, there's Theo,
yeah.
I'm also here from Germany, don't my stuff. I don't care about these things anymore. And I feel totally well in that lifestyle I have with, I don't know, sports, clothes and yeah. whatever. And maybe for other people, it's easier sometimes to have this kind of, to see that kind of image and then, oh yeah, this is cool, I like that. But Annika mentioned that in one video, she never had that because it doesn't exist, or it was yeah. at least not visible. And I had definitely the same problem. And yeah.
Do you think you could be someone like the role model for someone, or you never think about that, like in that way? You just think if it happens, it happens.
Yeah, I never think about things like that, and because you know I just doing my stuff and try my best, but I heard it from other people meanwhile, and yeah. I'm happy to hear that.
That's amazing when you get someone telling you like you inspired me to do this, or and then
yeah,
you see
totally.
Like great,
that's so cool.
great work, and you're like, really?
It
was from whoa.
Yeah, I totally appreciate that, but that was never my. I never planned it or whatever. I just trying to do my best, and that's all.
You said like you started to play with your brother was playing as well, and then you started to go for education. But since you started to play until like you went for education, you had like in your mind like I want to do this as a professional for a living, or you just went for learning first, and then when you got to that level that you thought I'm really good at this and I can do it, or you will at least have that kind of dream?
Yeah, it was tricky at the beginning because I felt it from the first second on, I want to do this professionally, but I was aware of the fact that my parents definitely don't or didn't want me to do that for good reason, I would say nowadays. But if I would have kids,
closer
I
the same,
I would forbidden it anyway. No, I had this feeling, I thought, okay, I'm very interested in a lot of different fields, and also medicine or architecture or whatever would have been very interesting. But I thought I need to try this with music because it's so based on passion and emotions. And if you don't do that, maybe you will miss something when you're older. Mm-hmm. And that was the right decision. And I did that. And to be honest, secretly, my parents didn't know that I was applying for the auditions at universities.
Oh, really?
Because yeah, and but they were so busy that they didn't realize what I was doing there secretly. And my older brother supported me a
Sneaky.
Lot during that time.
You were like, wait, yeah. without no one seeing it, let me apply for this because they are busy. So let's
yeah.
go.
I mean, as you know, so it's hard to be accepted at these kind of jazz universities. Yeah. And so as everybody, I applied at the first round 8 universities, also in the Netherlands, because it's close mm-hmm. From here in North Germany. And the first audition was in The Hague in the Netherlands. And my brother and I had a pretty tough week, but he drove me to the Netherlands and to The Hague, where I had my entrance examination in the morning at 7 o'clock. It was a long ride. And then I had my audition, and I was accepted, and I immediately had the position and the chance to study there. And that was so overwhelming because my impression from other experiences from people who already did these auditions that it's almost impossible to be accepted. And that was so cool. And, you know, I never did preparation courses or whatever. I just played with music all night long. And
sometimes people forget about that, you know. Nowadays it's so much about the chops and the tricks and the flicks and mm-hmm. the spinning mm-hmm. sticks and stuff like that, that when you want to play music sometimes
true, yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean the technical stuff, you can learn that. I would true. Say there's two nowadays. Yeah, definitely
you can work and definitely work on your musicality as well, but I guess it's something that you it's harder to work. And I think if you're born with it, you know, like people that have a natural ear to music, you know, like, for example, yeah. if you're playing a blues or a standard jazz and you don't need to count the you can feel the harmony, you know where it's going to be the first bar, you know where it's going to go around because your ear is telling you boom, and it starts again. You don't need to be like 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. You know what I mean? Sometimes, like,
I agree.
If you're too concerned about the technical part, you don't listen to the music you're playing, and especially in jazz, I discovered that the most important thing is to give space to the others and to listen to the others. So when you have your part, it's gonna shine even more, you know, because it gives emphasis to your soul, let's say. And
absolutely.
I saw so many players, like, they just want to do fast stuff. And to the listener, for someone that doesn't understand music in a technical level, that's not music. You know what I mean? Like, for them, it's not beautiful. It's not tight.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Interesting fact. So I'm teaching at a pop institute here in Germany as well as a jazz department. And that's pretty cool because the students are at the beginning they were super different, but meanwhile you know the jazz guys study more pop stuff and the other way around.
Yeah.
One thing you mentioned I can observe during my or in my working every day, that there are people who have just the analytical ears and the other half have the musical ear, and
yeah.
It's pretty separate, I would say, or separated. And sometimes there's a student who has both, but that's very seldom. Mm. And it's interesting because the level, the technical level nowadays is crazy, but the musical level, yeah, it's on a super high level too, but there are not so many people who are good in both. And
yeah.
It's crazy because the people with an analytical ear, they listen to musical stuff too, but they always want to learn the sticking behind it or what kind of technique it is. But topics like playing over a bar line, syncopated patterns, creating longer phrases, developing musically a phrase to a peak, things like that, flow, playing with flow and ease, all that kind of stuff, beautiful phrasing.
Yeah.
These topics are so hard to teach because most of the time it's
feeling
pretty abstract.
If you don't feel it, you know, like
yeah,
some
yeah.
of the grooves, it's like you can put like a drummer that two drummers next to each other, and if playing like a funk groove. And if one of them is feeling it and the other one is not like into it, you can tell straight away, even though like their level is the same, technical is
true.
The feel,
yeah.
You know, the way you breathe, the way you feel the beat, the way you like lock with the rest, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to get with that thing of people now are more people. When I say people, it's like in general, it's not anyone in specific, but they are like, you can tell on Instagram that it's about the show business. You know, it's about doing a show. You, like those little clips of 15 seconds, you see a guy with a snare drum and like lifting the sticks up and getting him down. And it's cool to see. It's amazing. But I guess most of the drummers now, especially the younger ones, when they open Instagram, and they see like those med skills and shops and stuff. That's why I wanted to create this, because that's not the only thing you do as a drummer. You have loads of different stuff you can do. And especially, you can be loads of different types of drummer. You can be a creative drummer. Guys that do, you see guys doing drum parts with stuff that you never thought before, and sounds amazing. You're like, how? How did you thought about it? That's cool. Or you see drummers that are really quick and the technique is amazing. Or you see drummers that, you know, really like to do odd meters. There's different types of drummers all the way. But I guess for new people, for new students, when they see all the social media content, they can get stuck in that mindset, that it's like, I will not be good enough to do this. So they like quit before they start. You know what I mean? And when I was a kid, I remember to see like Kovos on YouTube, and he was playing like covers and stuff, doing like cool feels. And for me, I had started to study jazz at that time, and for me that was impossible to do. You know, I was like, I will never be able to do this feel. And once I started to go for the jazz program, and you start to get some technique, and you start to get like more fluid on a drum set and stuff like that, and you see your footage after a gig, and you see like, blah, 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 and you're like, whoa, actually I can do it. And you get to that point that you start to realize like you can do it. And when you go further and further and further,
yeah,
and you get to that point that you are that guy doing those videos, you know. But until there, I think there's like that little push or that little alert for people. Hey, it's not only this. This is like part of it. You know what I mean?
True, true. And I ask a lot of questions of mine. What do they feel when they consume social media? And the interesting result was even the choppy players mentioned that they don't have a good feeling when they're checking out videos at Instagram. And that was very important for me to hear, because I thought, because of that, I need to create videos which give the people something more warm-hearted, musical, also drumming-wise, interesting and virtuous, but something warm-hearted and cool, more kind of lifestyle they like, you know?
Yeah.
Because you know that feeling. Meanwhile, I mean, there's such an overload of videos.
True.
It's impossible to consume all that awesome stuff. But it takes so much time to make a choice what to watch and what to use
and
for your practice routine or whatever. Yeah, and who to follow and whatever. It's too much. And I rather go back to the pages and to the persons I already like, whenever I click on that video, I know that I will get something which helps me practicing, which brings me in a good mood. You know, it's more psychological.
Like a little filter.
Yeah, exactly. And that's definitely a fact which has an impact on my working every day when I create videos. Yeah. And it's dangerous if you're very young, if you're 20 or younger, whatever, or in your young 20s, then you don't have the experience what is really good or what exists in general in the music world. I mean, when I studied with Peter, I was sitting next to him for 1 year, every week, once or twice. So I felt how amazing the phrasing is, even when he played very simple stuff. And I felt how awesome and sensitive his sound is.
Yeah, you can tell the groove is there, you know. It doesn't matter what is it, but it's there.
Absolutely. And how intelligent his orchestration ideas are and all these things. And when I see an Instagram video which is more fakeish, you never know how many times this guy or this girl recorded until he or she posted it, you know? But when I was sitting next to Peter, everything was so you know, he's a jazz guy, so a lot of things come from improvisation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another level, I think. You know, if something is based on improvisation instead of writing down things, practicing it over 1,000 times and then recording it, and the take number 100 is the post on Instagram, that's different.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Definitely.
Thank you very much for doing this interview with me. Really appreciate you taking your time to do this. If you guys like this video and if you want to help it out the channel, please subscribe and give it a like. We'll have more interviews like this in the future. Thank you very much and see you next time.